Well, Darren Aronofsky's film Noah has certainly stirred up a lot of controversy. A lot of critics, both religious and secular, actually rather like the movie, give it high marks. Other religious critics, both evangelical and Catholic, have been much more reticent, let's say, in their appreciation of it. A well-known Catholic blogger and film critic said Noah was embarrassingly awful and the stupidest film in years. Well, probably driven by a lot of this controversy, it also took in about $50 million in its first weekend. I saw Noah, and I think it's best interpreted under the rubric of the Midrash. Now, what's a Midrash? Well, the Midrashim were literary elaborations of the often very spare texts of the Scriptures. Midrashim were extremely popular in ancient Israel. So you begin with the often very understated text of a biblical story, but then starting from that, you elaborate upon it. You bring in other characters. You introduce subplots and various things. It seems to me what we have in this movie is a sort of cinematic, postmodern midrash. So there's the fundamentals of the Noah story, but then there's a lot of other creative elements. For example, Noah has an extended conversation with his grandfather, Methuselah. Methuselah is indeed his grandfather in the Bible, but there's no hint they ever talk to each other. Well, they do talk in this movie, and Methuselah plays a rather important role. There's an angry army of people that want to go get on the ark, and a great battle happens before the flood comes. That's not in the Bible, but it's an elaboration. There's a really beautiful scene, I think, when they're using this herbal soporific to put all the animals to sleep on the ark, and it's as though they're spreading incense around within the ark. Now, most controversially, you have these rock creatures. They're actually angels who've been imprisoned in matter for different reasons, and they're now these kind of great animated rock figures. And they play a role in the movie. And I know some people, it drives them crazy. They're not in the Bible. Well, just say a word about the rock people. In the Genesis account of Noah, we hear about the Nephilim. A Nephilim in Hebrew has a sense of the fallen. Well, they're also in some extra biblical literature referred to as the watchers. The famous hymn, "Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones," relies upon that ancient tradition. Well, what Aronofsky does, seems to me, is he brings a number of these elements together. He makes them fallen, they're fallen angels, and they're referred to in his movie by Noah himself as the Watchers. So there they are as a kind of, I'd say, midrashic embellishment of the text. Now, here's the thing, though, that I think is most important. It's remarkable to me how this movie preserves an awful lot of what I call the biblical logic of the story of Noah. In a way, I must say, that's rather remarkable for a major Hollywood movie. First of all, God is clearly affirmed throughout the movie. I've heard Aronofsky, the director, is an atheist. Well, he might be, but you wouldn't really guess it from the movie. God, the creator, is mentioned by every major character. His existence is taken utterly for granted in the course of the movie. But more to it, this creator God in Noah is not some abstract force, not a distant object, not blandly identified with nature. He's a person who has a will and a purpose and who intervenes in the things of this world. He's a providential, personal God. That seems very clear. Thirdly, the fall is clearly assumed, that there's something deeply wrong with human beings, and that the sins of human beings have created a lot of the suffering of the world and a certain rape of nature. Deeply biblical idea. I know some have objected that this is a kind of, you know, contemporary secularism, environmentalism, but, you know, that is a very biblical motif. Look at the account of Cain, right, who slays Abel, and Cain is the father of cities in the Bible. Look, too, you know, at the deeply Catholic, deeply biblical J.R.R. Tolkien in The Lord of the Rings, who in a much more dramatic way shows how human sin leads to the rape of nature. I mean, so that's not simply a contemporary environmentalist sort of perspective. That's a deeply biblical perspective. But, you know, I think what struck me most as a biblical logic in this movie is the centrality of discerning and following the will of God. Noah, from the beginning, is interested above all in that. What does God, the Creator, want? What's He planning? How can I cooperate with it? Noah resists, and it comes through very clearly in the movie, he resists the tendency toward self-will, self-creation, my projects and plans. He wants to know, throughout the movie, what is the will of God? I'll give you the most dramatic example, and it's a spoiler alert I'll put up right now for those who haven't seen it. They're on the ark, so they've survived. Noah and his immediate circle. And one of the women in the group is pregnant. Well, Noah has determined the will of God seems to be that we last human beings, will save the animals on the planet. We will preserve them, for the future. But human beings are just too depraved. And so our task is now simply to die out. That's what God wants. Once we've done our last mission, we will die out. Well, here's this woman who's pregnant. So he says, if it's a girl, I'm going to kill her because then she could reproduce and we have to end the human race. But see, mind you, he's not saying, I want to do this. He's saying, I discern it to be the will of God. Well, then at the emotional climax of the movie, when she gives birth actually to twin girls, Noah comes to kill them. It's a bit like Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was convinced that God wants him to sacrifice Isaac. Here, Noah is convinced God wants him to kill these children, but he refrains. His answer is, his explanation is, because all I felt for these children at that point was love. Well, it's not a bad point of discernment. If God is love and what you're feeling is absolute love, well, that's from God. And so he discerns, no, it must be God's will that the human race goes on as well. Well, I know some people say it's not in the Bible. It shows Noah as a conflicted guy. Well, I say, fine, so what? I mean, I see someone who's going through the painful process of trying to discern the will of God. But the point is, that's what he's interested in, not his own will. Anyway, all those bits of biblical logic, I think, are clearly evident in the movie Noah. Here's the last point. I doubt this was clearly in the mind of the director. Maybe it was. But that scene I referred to already of the members of Noah's family moving through the ark with what looked for all the world like sensors. And they're sending the smoke here to put the animals to sleep. But they looked for all the world to me like priests who were incensing a great cathedral. And in fact, the ark looks like a temple or a cathedral. Well, that calls to mind a very ancient theme. You find it in the church fathers, that the ark is an archetype of the church. So during this time of chaos and destruction, when the tohu vabohu, that's the Hebrew for the primal watery chaos, comes back because of sin, God sends a rescue operation in the shape of this ark. And on that ark, he preserves a microcosm of his good order, so that when the tohu vabohu recedes, he can let the life out for the renewal of the world. Okay. The church fathers said, that's the church. That's the church. So during the time of sin, which is every time, the tohu vabohu of cruelty and hatred and violence and all that is always around us. God has sent a rescue operation in the shape of this great ship called the church. We refer to the bark of Peter, right? The ark, the boat of Peter. On the church, in the church, is preserved a microcosm of God's good order, where God's word is proclaimed, where God is properly worshipped, and where people live in harmony and nonviolence and justice. What's the point of the church? Not to rest in itself, but now to become the seed for the renewal of the world. See, I was very struck by that as I saw the scene of the priests essentially incensing inside the ark. That comes right up to the present day as the church engaging in its liturgical life is a sign of hope, the means of hope for the renewal of the world. So I would say for all these reasons, if even implicitly this biblical and ecclesial logic comes through and you sense it in the movie, it's well worth watching.